The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program today cover the week of Monday, October 9th, through Sunday, October 15th, 2023. The commentary for October was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. Prior to seminary, she spent 12 years as an elementary school teacher. When not busy with church activities, she enjoys reading, singing, and watching Dodgers baseball. The commentary for Monday, October 9th, begins as follows. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Here's the commentary. This verse from 1 Corinthians is a helpful reminder that even though we may disagree with another person, we are all part of the body of Christ. When Paul wrote these words to the emerging Christian community in Corinth, they were having some difficulties and divisions were forming. Sound familiar? Well, like so much of Scripture, these words written many centuries ago are relevant today. Our world is very divided, and there is a great deal of inequality. In some congregations I have attended, I know there were parishioners with whom I strongly disagreed on various issues. If I found myself thinking badly of them, I would remind myself that it wasn't my place to judge them. We all come to the same Eucharistic table to share in Christ's body and blood and remember his sacrifice. Every person is needed in the body of Christ. All who come to the table receive God's love. And now I'm going to read from that full passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 through chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply, then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says it to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it out of consideration for the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my liberty be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday is plan on partaking in the Eucharist weekly. Before the service, offer prayers, particularly on behalf of those with whom you disagree. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 10th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but stands forever. Living in Southern California, I find that the mountains are an anchor for me. I can sometimes be a directionally challenged person, but I can reorient myself by figuring out where the mountains are. Mountains are majestic and a symbol of permanence. As the psalm says, they cannot be moved. When I go into the mountains, I marvel at the natural beauty. A favorite family vacation spot is Lake Tahoe. The drive-in requires a winding road, and I eagerly await the curve when the lake comes into view, and I can take in the beauty of the scenery. For me, the drive through the mountains is a thin place, a reminder that sometimes the distance between heaven and earth is much closer than we realize. It is often in places of natural beauty where I most sense the presence of God. This psalm encourages us to trust and have faith. Just like the mountains, trust in the Lord abides forever. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, what places help you reorient yourself? Plan to visit one of them this month. The commentary for Wednesday, October 11th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We hear these words from 1 Corinthians every time we participate in the Eucharist, the story of Jesus sharing a meal with his friends the night before he dies. Jesus tells his friends that whenever they eat the bread or drink the wine, they should remember him. In our modern-day society, people often have memories associated with food and drink and their loved ones. When my family gathers for holidays, it is potluck style, and we mostly know the menu because people bring the same thing they've brought for years. There have been a few changes over the years, though. Ever since my grandmother died, no one in the family has been able to master the cranberry jelly for Thanksgiving. We still have some form of cranberry on the table, but inevitably someone says something like, "Well, it's not grandma's. Maybe we'll never figure it out." And maybe that's okay. We still remember grandma each year, even if it's a recurring food fail. Her memory stays alive. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup also, after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, October 11th, what foods summon special memories for you? The commentary for Thursday, October 12th, begins with a passage from Psalm 133, verse 1. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. Here's the commentary. While I have not experienced living with extended family under one roof, I witnessed the benefits of generations of family living together when I was in elementary school. A close friend lived with her parents and one set of grandparents. I would go to her house for a play date, and her mother or grandmother would make us a snack or a meal, depending on the time of day. I still remember the smells that permeated their kitchen. While the grandparents' English level was quite limited, they showed their love by feeding my friend and, by extension, me and many others who came over for a visit. On more than one occasion, they would prepare large meals for many of our schoolmates and their families for dinner parties. Their multi-generational home was a beacon of hospitality and love, a tangible expression of the psalmist's words. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what are some of the benefits of multi-generational households? And what are some of the challenges? The commentary for Friday, October 13th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. One of the blessings of being the fourth generation of my family to attend my church, St. Mary's, has been the opportunity to cultivate long-lasting relationships. My cousins and I became friends with other children whose grandparents were friends with our grandparents. Family roots run deep. This verse from 1 Corinthians resonates well with the St. Mary's experience. When a parishioner dies, St. Mary's folks show up for the funeral, even if they haven't been to church in weeks, months, or years. They come to celebrate a life well lived. It's truly a lovely sight to witness old relationships rekindled among the mourners in honor of the person who has died. Our parish newsletter also routinely publishes the accomplishments of the members from their professional or extracurricular pursuits, along with graduations, marriages, and births. We celebrate with each other in the good times and support each other through the hard times. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectful members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. And the moving forward question for this day is, how does your congregation live out these words? The commentary for Saturday, October 14th, begins with a passage from Psalm 137, verse 1. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered you, O Zion. This verse takes me back to the night of September 11th, 2001. I was just a couple of weeks into my freshman year of college and had joined the college women's glee club. That night was our first rehearsal. We met in the lower level of the college chapel and learned a piece by the American folk singer Don McLean called Babylon, which includes the words of this scripture passage in the lyrics. Upstairs in the chapel, a group was organizing a prayer service in response to the terrorist attacks, and the organizers came to find us when they heard our rehearsal. They asked us to sing Babylon for the remembrance service. I kept my emotions in check as we sang in the chapel, but when I called my father later that night, all the feelings of the day came pouring out. Each time I hear these words from Scripture, I remember the heartache of that night, and I find solace knowing that the psalmist and countless others have wept, all in the presence of God the Comforter. And now I'm going to read the full verse from Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back but what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rocks. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel today, which is from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 10, verse 4. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, October 14th, is, what words of Scripture give you comfort? And now we've reached the last day of the week. This is the commentary for Sunday, October 15th. It is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. The commentary begins with a passage from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the commentary. The exchange of the peace is a moment of connection, a visible, tangible reminder that we do not worship alone. It can also be a time of reconciliation. Too often we regard the exchange of peace as intermission in the service or a time to socialize with friends. But there is a much deeper significance to this part of the liturgy. As we transition from the word to the table within the service, we share the peace of God with one another, a sign of reconciliation and a way to prepare our hearts for Eucharist. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the hugs and handshakes of peace were replaced with head nods, fist bumps, or peace fingers. I miss the tactile aspect of exchanging the peace, but maybe the outward gestures are not as important as the inner desire to seek and share God's peace. And now I'm going to read from the full chapter of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And for this Sunday commentary, I am also going to read the Gospel for this day from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, how do you view the exchange of peace? Does it change how you approach others if you see it as a time of reconciliation with God and neighbor? And that's just about all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us much better than we're speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.